Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Do we want to go there first? Well, maybe not. Anyway, that's where our primary teaching is coming from. One of the things I wanted to share with you to help you understand the love that God has for us is the parable of the prodigal son. There's a lot of P's there. And for those that don't know, this chapter actually has three parables in it. And they all talk about the same thing, so to speak, God's unconditional love. That he is unwilling to abandon anybody for any reason at any time. Amen. The first one is about the lost sheep. You know, how he leaves the 99 to go after the one. Are you that one? No. No, I believe you're one of the 99. Okay. And the next one is about the lost coin. And it's interesting, the numbers. There's 100 and then there's one. Then there's 10. There are 10 coins and one gets lost. So you can see the percentages are going up. And then there are two sons. And one's lost, that's 50% gone. You know what I'm trying to say? Okay. And it's showing the, just regardless whether you're one in 100 or whether you're one of two, God's still unwilling to abandon you. He'll go after you regardless. Amen. And I think, you know, I was looking at this and I was thinking, doesn't this just go back to what Jesus said? In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. In fact, can we go there first? That's where, and I want to read both those verses with this parable in mind and with this idea in mind. When he said, for God, this is Jesus was speaking, and he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It goes back to God so loved. God so loved everybody. He wasn't willing to abandon anybody. He just wanted every single person to be saved. Amen? And he said that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know people have certain ideas about who gets saved and who's not, but Jesus said, whoever believes. I want to believe Jesus more than anything else. Amen? And I want you to notice it goes on to say something else. Verse 17, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. To say, well, you can go in, but you can't. Amen? He says, but that the world, the whole thing, through him might be saved. Amen? So we're seeing, again, God's love in this, and I want to take you now to this incredible parable that clearly shows, again, God's unconditional love. I want to keep using that phrase because I want that to stick in your brain. Maybe it'll work its way into your heart someday, okay? But just keep thinking and remembering that one phrase. You know, it explains so much that goes on. I used to think at one time, God, why don't you just wipe out everybody that just doesn't believe in you? He said, you would have got wiped out with them too. I said, you're right, sorry, okay? You know, some people, you just... I'm sorry, okay? All right, I have repented over those thoughts. I'll repent now again. Anyway, but you know what I'm trying to say. But you know what? God isn't willing to abandon anybody, regardless of what people might say. He loves us so much. And if you can get that, if you can understand that he's willing to go after you to such an extent, you know, he's just willing to do all kinds of things to get you. How much more does he love you because you're there? You know, we always talk about God's love going after people, and I do want to talk about that a little bit more today. But understand something, for those who stay, for those who are doing the right thing, that same love is there, wanting to do more and bless you and, you know, cause you to increase in every area of your life, in the good things, amen, and decrease in everything else that's not good for you. Anyway, let's begin. Luke chapter 15, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So find the version, and we'll begin in verse 11. Luke chapter 15, And I just want to begin with what Jesus says. He starts off with, a man had two sons. Verse 12, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now. Instead of waiting until you die. Anyway. And you know, this is incredible. And it says, so his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now we're going to talk about this because we can't go past this. William Hendrickson writes, the younger of the two sons became tired of staying at home. As has been the case with certain young people ever since, certain, not all, okay? This young man desired to be free from parental restraint. He was convinced that being by himself, away from the eyes of his parents, though the mother is never mentioned, okay, he would be able to do whatever he wanted, and his freedom would make him happy. How many people have... Can we relate? Okay. We know somebody, right? It's never us. Okay. All right. Of course, to carry out his plan, he needed money. See, isn't that... It always comes down to that, doesn't it? You know what? And whenever we want to do something selfish, it's going to take something and somebody else has to give that to us. It's not like we... No, seriously. Okay. Now, it's important to know that at the time that Jesus was relating this parable, fathers would often give gifts to their children while they were still alive. And that would be more than enough for most, but not this child. He wanted the whole inheritance right now. So I need you to, why am I doing all of this? I really need to set this up so you understand the father's love. You understand how naughty this child was, how bad this child was, and whatever you see and whatever you can relate to in this, as far as you've strayed, I need you to see that God still will love you if you turn back around. He loves you while you're still out there, but you still need to come to him. Amen? So we're gonna go on a journey with this naughty young one today, then we'll get to the second brother next week. Because this thing doesn't end. It keeps going. And some people have thought that it was added the second half, but there's nothing to say that it was. It was all a part of one parable showing something very significant. And we're going to see both of those things. We always think about the prodigal son. What about the... I won't mention it because I'll give it away. The other one. Okay, so... John MacArthur says that this was a shocking request, tantamount to saying he wished his father were dead. Remember, he said, instead of waiting until you die, he's probably thinking, this man's never going to die. How long is he? You know, kids. Yeah, not all kids, okay? But some, none of you here, that, you know, they just get the eyes on the money. You know, they see their father or their parents as money bags. And waiting for them to keel over so they can get their inheritance and their share and whatever else. So, moving on. So he says here again, it was a shocking request, tantamount to saying he wished his father were dead. He was not entitled to any inheritance while his father still lived. Yet the father graciously fulfilled the request, giving him his full portion. Now, it's important to note that this would have been difficult and a heartbreaking request to fulfill. With the father having to do various things, I didn't realize this, to convert his holdings into cash, the son is asking for his whole inheritance. He didn't say, I just need to borrow some money to go somewhere. He's saying, give me my entire inheritance. You all know what I'm trying to say? You know, it means that things have to be liquidated and things have to happen. And the people of that time would have understood what this parable was saying. The difficulty that the father was going to be facing. We don't get all of that, so I want to share that with you. Okay? And also, you know, I was thinking he would have to almost embarrassingly explain why he's having to do this. Somebody would say, this isn't a good place. You don't want to sell this. Or you don't want to... He's going, no, I need to. Well, why? How embarrassing. My son wants to get away from me. You know, that's what it amounts to. And why William Hendrickson says, did he, talking about the son, at all consider what he was doing would grieve, or how what he was doing would grieve the father? What an insult it was to him. As if the young man's freedom would actually be better for him than the loving care and advice he was constantly receiving from his father at home. I thought that was very insightful. See, he's trying to get away from, and this is what happens a lot of times, kids kind of in a huge rush to get away, and then they come back home. Because suddenly they realize, oh my God, there's not an automatic dishwasher and an automatic clothes washer and all these things that automatically get done. Suddenly I have to do everything. Hello. You know, you don't realize how much gets done, how much you are blessed. My kids know they're never leaving home. But the thing, and it needs to be at the right time. Amen. I don't ever, you know, it saddens me when kids leave before their time because they're trying to get away from something, and what they run into a lot of times is worse than what they were getting away from. Because if you do it for the wrong reason, you a few jag it. A few get it right, you know, but mostly it ends up in a mess. And then they're embarrassed to come home and everything else. So learn a lesson, everybody. Okay, all right. And so again, the father grants his son his request. But not only that, please notice, now this is really important. Are you all awake? That at the end of the verse, it actually says that his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Meaning that the father gave both his sons their inheritance. Now, this is going to be important at the end. You know, we're going to look, this thing has a second half to it. And we need to know that for that. Jesus, he's so good at, you know, when he wants to make a point, he will say things. You need to catch everything he says. Because you want to read over stuff. Don't. Everything he says has significance. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 13. A few days later, this young son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money on wild living. Okay. So we need to note a couple of things, okay? Again, the reason I'm bringing all this out is you need to know how far off track this kid went. What he did that hurt his father, that hurt the family, and so on and so forth. We need to see all of that, even to the point where, and here's the other lesson that we're going to learn later. I'll give you a little hint of things to come. We need to be careful how we judge people that have gone astray and come back to the family. Some of us don't want to let them back in. Bless God, you've been a blot on the, you know, on the body of Christ. We don't want you in this church. Hello. And we're going to find something very interesting that the Father loves both of them the same. Anyway, let's keep going. All right. So a couple of things. Firstly, this person was moving away from his family, taking a trip to a distant land. Listen, that meaning that he is going as far away from his family as he could. That's sad, isn't it? How much that would have added to the father's hurt. So not only is he not moving just down the street where he can still, you know, he's going so far that he's almost uncontactable. In fact, everything indicates that he couldn't be contacted and he didn't want to have any contact with the father. Isaiah chapter 53. Because, you know, I know all of us is thinking, well, bless God, you know, I'd never do that. You know, what a rotten little son. You know, it's great when we judge other people. Let's look inward for a minute. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All of us have strayed away. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, all of us have strayed away like sheep. I love this. It says, we have left God's path to follow our own. Interesting, isn't it? So often in the time, you know, we get educated, we get smart, and we think we're too smart for God now. We're too smart for religion, you know what I'm trying to say? And you know what? You're too smart for religion, but never God. Amen. Hopefully you wise up against religion, okay? And go, this ain't right, man, something wrong here. That's what happened to me, man. I just got to the place where I thought something is wrong. You know, for the one that I knew existed. Because I always had a sense about God. And I just had a sense of his existence and a sense of what he was actually like. And so I received that into my life. As you know, it was in the Billy Graham crusade. But then things didn't match up. As I was listening to people, you know, religion, you know, religious organizations and them ministering and so on and so forth, I would sit there and feel so distant from what they were saying. And I would feel like this isn't the God that I received into my life. So there's something wrong with this. And then I thought, maybe I don't want this God, you know? It didn't sound very good, man. But I had this habit of talking to God. And so, you know, and so I would be talking to him. I said, I don't know whether I like this. He goes, I don't like it either. And that scared me. It shocked me. I thought, what? He said, you know, they're still lying about me. And I said, well, bless God, somebody ought to say something. He goes, I've called you. Watch what you say. You know, you know, when you have the biggest objection, that's usually God telling you to do something. That's you having a passion about something. Hello. Amen. Good morning. No, we're talking about the prodigal son. It's all good. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, so, but, you know, this is something, again, it says all of us, in some way or form, we all stray. In some way or form, there's a time in our life that we'll, you know, we'll just wander off. And it's interesting that it goes in to say, I love the last part of the verse, yet the Lord laid on him, that is Christ, the guilt and sins of us all. Isn't that beautiful? So, can we move on without judging? All right. Secondly, notice that it says that he packed all his belongings. Literally, he gathered all he had, meaning that he left nothing behind in case his plan should fail, and no anchor in case he wished to return home. He was breaking all ties. You know, I want to just talk to you about us and God. So many people do this. You know, they just break away from God. They just have an issue or have something, or somebody teaches them something wrong about God, and it's usually something wrong about God. Because if you really knew him, you would love him. You would just love him. You know, that's the beauty of this. I love the gospel for the sake that it talks about God so loved the world, not intellectually comprehended the world, and that if you can't comprehend him back, he doesn't want anything to do with you. Isn't it interesting? No matter how many marbles you have or don't, the heart is still the heart. Amen. If you're breathing, you got one. And you can love as much as the most intellectual person you can love. That's why Jesus, when he was talking about mountains, he said, whoever shall say to this mountain and shall not doubt, but believe in their heart, not in their head. This is not a, I'm going to levitate that mountain with the power of my thought. Okay? It was in his heart. He said, if you believe in your heart, which then includes every single person on the planet, he said, the thing will actually move. That's where the intellectuals have an issue. Because, well, they calculate the weight of the mountain, and then the gravitational, and then the shearing force that would take to actually, you know, all of this stuff goes in, and you say, shut up. I'm trying to believe over here. Amen. Okay? This thing is, it goes beyond your mind. Your heart is the power center of your life. Out of your heart, says Proverbs, flow the issues, the forces of life. We still don't get that. That's where it is. The power is in there. And the power to believe and the power to excel beyond our understanding of things is in there as well. It can give you intellect like you don't even realize exists. How do you know that? Because that's what happened to me. Oh, yeah, man. I was the wooden spoon champion. You know the wooden spoon? No, not the one they beat you on the back with. The one they give you because you came last in the class. Hello. And they hope that you pass it on to somebody else next year. I had my name engraved on that spoon. No. You know, when I found God, and he said, you don't have to be this way. You don't have to remain this way. I said, really? And he said, I can change. You've got my mind on the inside of you. You want to activate the thing? I said, yes, please. I had intellect enough to know to say yes. You know, things changed. And I began to understand things I never could understand before. That's why I get people who don't get things. I get it. Smart people don't get that. They don't know why they can't get it. I get it. I've been on both sides of the fence. I understand a lot of things. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, yes. I want you to notice he cuts all ties with God. And a lot of people, sadly, when they get to a certain place in life, that's what they want to do. They just want to cut all ties with religion and God and all that stuff because, you know, that's all this myth and legend and whatever. And now we want to talk about real, you know, this is real. This is, you know, these are numbers. This can be calculated. Isn't it interesting that God created numbers? God created the calculations. He put all the laws in motion. All the laws we are so proud of that we discovered, he actually created. We didn't create any of the stuff. We just discovered it, and we're thrilled that we discovered it, and we feel so superior because we discovered it. And God sits back and goes, aren't I smart? While we're thinking how smart we are. Hello. Goes back to that little, you know, the one that says, you know, God, we now can make a person. And they say, okay, let's start. And so the person, you know, starts to do it and goes, no, you get your own dirt. Hello. You know, that's the thing. So much of the time, we don't realize we take something that God's already created to do something with it. And say, we created something. No, you just rearranged something that was already there. Amen? So, you know, when we cut ourselves off from God, we are cutting ourselves off from creation. We are cutting ourselves off from the source of everything. There's a lesson in that. Take it, learn it, get a revelation on it. Thirdly, notice it says that he wasted all of his money on reckless living. Philip's translation says that he squandered his wealth in the wildest extravagance, meaning that he spent his money foolishly and carelessly without any thought of the future. A lot of times this is what happens with people. They don't think about the future. They think about the here and now. How can I be happy now? What can I use all my money up on now? Instant gratification. You know, I can relate to this to a degree because, you know, when you don't think about things, you kind of go, what do you have and what do you want? Instead of thinking, what do I have and how can I increase it and how can I do the wisest things with it? And that may mean I don't have everything I want right now. But it will mean that in the future, I will have a future. And if I can wait a little bit, things will grow. Amen? Because everything is like a seed, like you're planting a seed. You know, you can't plant the seed and eat the fruit the next day. And so people, instead of investing in seed, they just go use their money to buy whatever else they want. And then the money's gone and there's no seed in the ground. You don't plant it, you have nothing for tomorrow. Amen. Anyway, so I'm bringing all of this out because we're talking about someone and maybe, you know, Jesus is hoping that it would relate to people and they'll begin to think about this and think, wow, I did that or I think that way or I shouldn't anymore. He's so good at this, isn't he? All right, let's continue. And so two disasters struck him simultaneously. I said here, he ran out of money and ran into a famine. Goes and say, verse 14, okay? About the time his money ran out, notice when he had spent everything he had, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. It actually says he began to be in need. So it wasn't just hunger, he was in need of everything because he spent all he had. Okay? William Hendrickson puts it so well when he says his money is gone, the famine arrives. Moreover, this new disaster has struck not only the place where he appeared to be living at the time, but the entire country. Remember, he got as far away as he could? So he's somewhere now. This is not happening in his father's house. There's no famine there. Oh, are you getting it? Parallels, parallels. So much of the time we wander off from God's kingdom. We wander off from our home with God, and we go in need. And then we're saying, where are you, God? And God's going, I'm still here. You were the one walked off. You come back here, there's more than enough. You go there, you're on your own. I told you this had a lot in it. Okay. Where was I? He himself had nothing left, and he could not expect help from anyone else. Oh, do I need? I do. Listen, man, people that are outside of God's kingdom, they're struggling too. You go ask them for help, they're going, hey, I got enough problems and want to have to help you. I don't have it to give. Hello. See, this is the reason why we need to be in the kingdom, because that's where we not only get all of our needs met, we are blessed, as Pastor Andrew loves to say, we are blessed to be a blessing. We're not blessed so that we can sit there and go, yeah, I got so much. Instead of prayed for, I can say paid for. You know, all them little things, which is great and all, but be careful. There's a thing called covetousness. It's different to being prosperous. Do you know a prosperous heart is one that not only receives but also gives? That's where the prosperity is. Whatever you give, then that comes back. Are you all with me? A lot of people don't have prosperous hearts. They have covetous hearts. I know I'm using the word prosperous in a bad way. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to get something across to you. You know, you have a generous heart is what I'm trying to say. A generous heart is prosperous. A covetous heart, that's why it talks about in Proverbs, you know, there's something really weird. I'm putting in the loose Roche translation. There's something really weird out there. It seems like the person that gives seems to get more or have more, and the person that holds more than what belongs to them seems to go in want. And somebody goes, yeah, what up with that? No, seriously, you know, what is that? Because in the world's financial system, that doesn't make any sense. If you give stuff away, you don't have that anymore. But in God's system, in the spiritual system, whatever you give, God sees that, and there is an invisible hand that moves on people that says, okay, he has given, so now the rules say that he's going to receive. Because God has created it that way. You throw a ball up, it's created to come back down. That's gravity. It'll pull it back down. You can't throw it up and it stays up there. You can't give and not receive. Same thing. Are you all with me? And so because there is this, just like gravity is invisible, generally speaking, don't get technical on me, okay? You can't see the thing, but you can see the effects of it. So is God the same. You can't see him, but you feel his effects. You give and things start to come back and you go, whoa. I think that's the most exciting thing to start with. Something invisible and impossible and incredible and supernatural happens. And you know, that's what God's way of saying, this is one way of letting me know, letting you know I exist. If you start giving, things will start coming. But you need to do it with the right heart. Okay, you can't do it with your little pencil and your book. And I have now given $100. I should receive. I'm going to add 3 zeros to that because, okay, that's not how the thing works. I ran out of time. It means I got more to edit. I hate myself when I go too long. Later that night, Roche, what is wrong with you? Okay, you never see this. I'm letting you know. All right, so, all right, so this lets us know that he must have done nothing. Listen, this is important. That he must have done nothing to help others with his money. You know, as I was praying over this, God showed that to me. None of the commentators have got this one. He must have spent it all selfishly on himself. And now when he is in need, there's no one to help him. There's no harvest, no favor. And so he begins to starve. And that's exactly what happens to people that say, oh, no, I can't do this. Oh, I've got, you know, 3 boats and 2 houses and 1 wife. I was going to say something there, but I better stop. Okay, you know, yeah, there's alimony and stuff, you know, and anyway, so you know, it can get complicated. But you know, this is what happens. A lot of times people go astray and then they get into trouble. And, you know, and the thing is, they're not generous. And they come into the kingdom and they go, well, this is my hard-earned money. Why should I give it? Learn the lesson. When you get in trouble, nobody want to help you because you didn't help nobody.
That's right.
There's no favor of God on you. There's no harvest. And God will have to move on some deeply compassionate person to help you. There aren't many of those. I'm going to just say that and leave it at that. And so I'm going to introduce the next thing I want to talk about. And I want to talk about it next week because I don't want to race through this. Is that okay? All right? You don't have a choice. I'm doing this. Okay, so I'm just being nice. All right, so what happens? You live this way. You choose to live this sinful, self-indulgent life. And when it runs out, guess what? You're on your own. Remember, he's away from his father. He did everything to get away from his father. Okay. And so he needs to get a job. You know, he's probably thinking, oh man, we're back to this again. I thought I left all this behind. Hello. But in this time of famine, employment is not easy to come by. And why? Out of desperation, it goes on to say in verse 15, he persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. This is a Jewish boy. I'm going to talk about this in detail next week because I want you to see what happens when you put your hands or put yourself in the devil's hands. He's not a kind master and he will get you to do things that is distasteful to you, that you hate, and then you become one of those people that is living a life that's just an existence. There's no pleasure in your life. You're just, you know, eking out an existence. You know, you're just working to survive. And all of this because you don't want anything to do with God. Because you want to go your own way. Because you want to hang on to everything that you've got. And you're making no provision for the future. And not just your future here, but your future in heaven as well. Because treasures are laid up as you give down here. So we'll talk about that next week. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you today for your word. And we just thank you, Father, that we're seeing that it's not good for us to walk away from love. It's not to our benefit to not listen to what love says. To feel like we've just got to get away from you, God, so that we can live a free life. There's no such thing. All we do is take ourselves out of the hands of love and put ourselves in the hands of a destroyer. One who destroys our heart, destroys our soul, destroys everything. that you so lovingly placed on the inside of us. And we thank you, Father, that as we continue in this journey and we learn more and begin to see more and more about what Jesus was trying to communicate to us through this parable, that it will not only help us, but help us to help others as well and understand maybe where they are and not judge them, but have the love that Jesus spoke about in John 3:16, that God so loved. And whatever we do to help those people, we will do it because we so love. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.